Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Wow.
Hello and welcome to the Abroad in Japan podcast, probably the best way of learning about life in Japan without actually being in Japan. I'm your host, Chris Broad, and we're joined, as always, by England's top Japan enthusiast, Mr. Pete Donaldson. Pete, how are you doing this weekend?
I'm good. It's a Sunday, and I've started the day right. I have eaten for breakfast what can only be described as a pasta bake. So let's see how Monday goes, shall we?
What is a pasta bake? I haven't had that in like 8 years because they don't really exist in Japan.
I think it's just like fusilli or pafale pasta chucked in a oven-proof dish with onions and just like a pasta sauce and a bit of water. And it hydrates the pasta, stick a lot of cheese on it, and you've got yourself a delicious meal. But it's not something I ever indulged in when I was at university. Turns out my partner was a fan and continues to be a fan, and she cooks amazing pasta bakes. And I know this is quite a simple meal, but I'm like, this is incredible. Cherry tomatoes, wow. Beautiful.
Cooking tips with Pete Donaldson. Time to rebrand the Abroad Japan podcast.
Well, I already look like that Joshua Weisman guy. Is it Joshua Weisman or Weisman? Poor sod. He's in his 20s and he looks like me. He's chosen the path of least resistance, and he looks a bit like me. Or rather, I look a bit like him because he's way more famous.
Poor lad. But well done. I hope you enjoyed your pasta bake. I'm trying
it's
to
good,
cut out.
Yeah, that's what I've achieved today.
trying to cut out carbohydrates on this end. It's time to get
Chris,
fit, Pete.
Chris
after a truly atrocious 4 months, the first 4 months this year, just been a disaster.
Right.
I'm now the least healthy I've ever been in my life, and I am not very happy about it. And I got a hate comment this morning, adding salt to the wound. It says, "Hi, Chris. You make amazing videos with your voice, but why do you dress up like a pensioner? How dare you? How dare you dress like a pensioner?"
I mean, look, if someone is going to add salt to the wounds, that's not going to be great for you, who already consumes too much salt.
There's already enough salt in my wound.
Do you dress like a pensioner? Like, I mean, I think everyone under lockdown and everyone who isn't kind of isn't filming themselves on the internet, certainly my end, like I have been dressing atrociously. My trousers are all kind of the waistbands are all just velcro, that's
velcro.
That's like stripper trousers. They're all just drawstrings, and I've massively gone to seed. But I mean, you, Chris, like you're on camera all of the time, but I've not noticed you dressing necessarily like a grandparent.
Maybe it's because we dress the same. Actually, no, you're quite a well-dressed young man. I always dress like I've just fallen out of a cupboard. I think the problem is, in Japan, when I buy clothes, they often don't fit because I think in the UK, I'm like medium size, but in Japan, that means I'm like extra, extra large. And my height and width don't really work to Japanese sizes, right? People in Japan.
You're like a Roblox, aren't you?
I'm like a Roblox.
Yeah, no, like a Roblox. Is it Roblox? What's Roblox.
That?
You know, it's like a little Minecraft Lego man.
Oh, right.
That kids seem to like, and everyone's really square.
Making a joke about my weight there. But like a Roblox. I don't buy clothes while I'm in Japan. Often I'll fly back to the UK, buy some socks, and then come back. But like, I've been able to buy clothes for over a year now. So Gonna have to do something to my add to my collection of clothes. My collection of clothes, my wardrobe, is just one black t-shirt times five. I don't dress like a pensioner. I don't dress very well, but I don't dress like a pensioner. That's going too far. I don't know. What do you think, guys? What do you think? Let us know at brawnjapanpodcast@gmail.com. How do I dress?
I hear that on some days Chris can be spotted in Sendai walking around with like a walking frame with two tennis balls on the front of it.
Oh man, I do like walking around Sendai at night though, and it's just a nice city for walking around. Like a British city at night, I just don't feel comfortable walking around, especially if it's London. Right. Certain areas of London. Well, Sendai, you can walk down any street, any time of day, 3 a.m. Go for your afternoon, late night walk, and it's perfectly safe. And I think that's going to be one of the things I miss about Japan if I ever move away from here, because I don't feel there's that many countries in the world where you can just feel completely at ease and never have to think twice about looking over your shoulder at late night, even when going through pretty shady areas, of which there are some in Sendai. But gonna miss that.
Chris, that's adorable.
Not that I'm going anywhere.
Adorable.
Not that I'm going anywhere anytime soon. We've got a story of the week.
It's getting thrown out.
Story of the week from Keith. He says, "Hi boys, love the podcast, and thank you both for your contribution to our entertainment. I've wanted to write in before, but lacked the motivation until I listened to your recent episode that mentioned eating raw chicken. I wanted to share a cautionary tale about my own nightmare experience with raw chicken on my last trip to Japan in 2017. Traveling with my wife and father-in-law, we had just arrived in Japan and decided on dinner at a small yakitori skewered meat restaurant near our hotel. This was our first meal of a 12-day trip, and we ordered a set course that included several items, including chicken. One of the skewers was only partially cooked, seared on the outside but raw on the inside, albeit deliberately. We hesitated to try it, but boldly took the plunge. We were proud of ourselves for facing this culinary adventure. Little did we know, we started feeling ill the next day, but chalked it up to jet lag. By that night, we felt genuinely terrible. Fever, chills, and bowels that never quite quit. Exactly what you want out of a vacation. We all learned a new phrase, geridiska. We were sick for the remainder of the trip. Assuming it was just food poisoning, we thought we'd get over it quickly, but we never ever did, and we should have gone to the hospital. It turns out that we'd been infected by Campylobacter. Is that a name for a bacteria? Campylobacter? How do you say that, Pete?
I've not got the story up, but
I think it's Campylobacter.
Campylobacter, yeah.
It's the campiest of bacteria.
It sounds bacterial. It sounds problematic.
Apparently, it required a treatment of antibiotics to get over, which was prescribed by our doctors back home. As it stands, it turned our 10-year return to Japan trip into a horrific experience. I'm planning to return to Japan in 2021 to wipe this memory from record. My advice to anyone visiting Japan is to avoid the temptation of trying the raw chicken unless you're ready and willing to visit the hospital the next day. What we anticipated to be a fantastic trip turned out to be a weight loss journey from hell. Again, I don't recommend it. All the best, guys. Keith." And that ties in with the story from a few weeks ago where some people lost some weight, albeit under slightly better circumstances. But, I mean, this is interestingly, so 3 weeks ago we talked about eating raw chicken in Japan and how it's quite common. You know, you can do it in certain places. I've done it probably 4 times in the last 9 years, and I don't enjoy it and I don't recommend doing it. But I kind of said at the time that I'd never heard cases of people being sick. That's why they have raw chicken in Japan, that's salmonella free or whatever. Clearly that's a lie, because we've actually got 3 or 4 messages this week from folks, including Keith, who have been diagnosed with some stomach bug or something's gone horribly wrong. So I've changed my – originally I was like, oh, yeah, try it. It's fine. But now if you're listening to this and you come to Japan, don't – eat the raw chicken. Just don't do it. Don't ruin the trip.
Chris, the Surgeon General says no. The FDA has disapproved of eating raw chicken in Japan. Incredible. I mean, I would say, Chris just said, great way to lose weight, mate. Like, because you're my mate and you lose your weight. A bit of advice from a slightly older traveller, if you think you've eaten something a bit peaky, a bit, oh, that I'm not sure I should have done that, get yourself a big can of Coke and get that down you, because Coke is incredibly aggressive acidic wise, and it might it might help you kill kill some of the bugs. That's certainly what the I think the Spanish recommend it. Little can of Coke, really? Whiz it around a little bit so the bubbles kind of disperse a little bit, and because of the acidic nature of the Coca-Cola, it helps kill some of the bugs. So look, if you ever eat anything a bit dodgy, get yourself a can of Coke afterwards.
Dr. Pete has spoken.
Yeah.
God forbid if you're a Dr. Pete. Have a pasta bake and a Coca-Cola. That'll cure your diabetes.
I agree with all that.
Ridiculous. We've got a story this week about Prince Harry, the beloved royal family member who's been talked about a lot this year, doing various things with Oprah Winfrey. Apparently, Harry is now the laughingstock of Japan because of his new job title. He recently landed a new job as Chief Impact Officer. I love that. Chief Impact Officer. A title that means you're doing effectively nothing. Chief Impact Officer for a Silicon Valley mental health services startup called BetterUp. Like many job titles, the role of Chief Impact Officer can be shortened to an acronym. And in this case, it's been referred to as CHIMPO. In the US, which sounds like a monkey at a zoo that you're going to visit soon for your birthday, Pete. While a lot of people in Britain have mused over the odd-sounding acronym, here in Japan, the music has turned into stifled giggling, with local media outlets tittering at the news, because CHIMPO, in Japanese, is slang for penis. Ha, ha, ha.
Oh,
that's Pete Donaldson's humour right there. That is the Pete Donaldson
Don't be rude. You like a cock joke just as much as me. And if one of our proud, brave princes is now a big winky, it's just amusing. It's good news. Good news it is.
I mean, there's not much to add to this article, really. I don't think Prince Harry's aware of this. I'm sure he doesn't care. But nevertheless, it is pretty funny. Ha, ha, ha.
Yeah.
Any
it's a job he probably wouldn't have requested, a job title he probably wouldn't have requested. It's a acronym that probably doesn't exist in the real world. So he's got nothing to be, he should be proud of his penis.
I like to think you're the chimpo of the Abroad in Japan podcast.
I am.
The chief impact officer.
Chief impact officer. I mean, I'm chief editing officer and I don't get that right half the time. So.
Hey, chief impact officer. When you're desperate, I'm desperate for a role title.
Actually, I've just noticed that Chris, I've surreptitiously and unbeknownst to me, kind of absorbed some of your style tips in your little kind of filming room in your house with your kind of jaunty bookshelf behind you. Mm. I recently had to sort of rejuvenate at one corner of the Stakhanov office with I thought I'll make like a little photography corner so people can take pictures there. People can kind of like a little branded area that kind of when we've got a guest in, pop them down there, take a picture, lovely old job. And hilariously, they one of the bookshelves I bought to accommodate some of the tat I had in my garage, like little like baby figurines, a typewriter, an old camera. So I basically made it look like an LED-covered streamer's bedroom, very much like what you're rocking at the moment. but I've just noticed that the bookcase that you've got is very much the one I've sort of stolen from Amazon and used in the little Stakhanov photography corner. So I cannot believe you were influencing me without even necessarily being an influencer. Fantastic.
It's a sad day when you have to steal interior design tips from Abroad in Japan.
From Chris Broad,
The man who is often ridiculed for his style has been described as an old age pensioner. Best avoided, Pete. But well done. I'm glad to... staring at my bookshelf every time we do a podcast or you're watching a Abroad in Japan video has finally paid off. Nice one. Another story this week. Aichi man, a guy living in Niigata? Nagakuta City, which I've never heard of before. Ooh. Aichi man who stole and replaced women's shoes set free because the victim was too disgusted to press charges. 2 weeks ago, a man in Nagakuta City in Aichi Prefecture was arrested for stealing a pair of pumps that belonged to a pair of pumps. Is that a name? Is that what? What's a pump?
Pumps. A pump. It's like a. I think. Are they trainers? It's like. Pumps. Oh. Is like a lady's shoe.
So there's a music teacher who had a shoe stolen. And what made this theft even stranger? And this is kind of bizarre. Was that when the guy took his shoes, he replaced them with a nearly identical new pair. So it's kind of like the act of a stalker, but you're trying to cover your tracks, but not. The ensuing investigation...
very much confused the hell out of me. I'd be like, I'm fairly certain these shoes weren't like Diadora. I thought they were Nike. And I'm fairly certain they didn't smell quite as nice as this.
Well, this guy has been going around doing it to 30 pairs of women's footwear. He's been going into the homes of people and taking their footwear and then just switching it with some new ones. He's also admitted to police that he's exchanged the shoes because he enjoyed the scent of the used shoes. That's how things stood of 10th of April. But upon further investigation, new details have come to light about the thieves' modus operandi. It turned out that the man would survey the shoe cubbies of his victim's workplace and take photos so that he could purchase a convincing pair of lookalikes. Then, after buying the shoes, he would break them in himself for a bit before making the switch, so hopefully the victim wouldn't notice. It would seem this new information proved too much for the initial victim to handle, because the music teacher dropped the charges against him, saying that the details of the case were too disgusting for her. She wasn't alone either. After the story broke, many other women came forward about how their shoes feeling suddenly quite different all of a sudden, how they reported the police, but they weren't willing to pursue charges against the man. And so on April 23rd, despite doing this, stealing 20 pairs of shoes and replacing them, the police set the man free and he won't stand trial. The police are a bit disappointed that none of the women have pressed the charges. So it's unfortunate. Oh, I don't know. Again, another weird case. What's going on, Pete? Help me out, because I don't know what to make sense.
Men are going on, Chris. Men are going on. It's one of those crimes that you never see women in the dock for. You never see women arrested for this kind of fucking perversion. Always men. Always weird men. You just never see. It's never an issue that the law courts have to deal with when it comes to women. It's just like.
I mean, we have.
We should just be. Castrated. Just get rid. We do not need more kids. We do not
shoes.
just take off our balls. We don't take off our balls. Do our penises. We don't need them. Become eunuchs. It just doesn't. We don't need it. We don't need it anymore, because it just seems to be the source of all evil.
I don't.
Everyone
share,
has to deal with other people's nonsense.
I don't share your vision for being castrated. You can take one for the team if you want. But it's true. We do. I mean, these stories. There's always a guy who's done something weird. And creepy. What a weirdo. What a dickhead. Well, on the one hand, ridiculous. Like,
free shoes.
So elaborate.
Free shoes, though. Free new
so
shoes.
Elaborate, isn't it? So ridiculous.
Yeah. But it is that kind of thing. They probably were pressed because they felt kind of surveilled, I suppose. And you're probably like, oh, I just don't want any part of this. And a lot of crimes of this nature, or crimes of many nature, like people get away with it due to either lack of evidence.
So weird.
Or people sort of going, I don't want to be a part of this fucking circus, this fucking nonsense. This is nothing to do with me. And it shouldn't be anything to do with them. You shouldn't need a woman to sort of, you know, to get into a court to put a man like that down.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I heard a story of someone in Tokyo who experienced sexual assault. And then when she reported it to the police, she had to go to the exact spot where it happened and reenact it in front of four police officers.
Good.
Things like that.
Christ.
It's not very good.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, if this happened, if this happened to you, you probably wouldn't want to press charges, because A, you wouldn't want to hear or see or deal with this man ever again. And B, it might become public knowledge that it was your shoes, and it might be quite embarrassing.
Yeah.
It might be a sort of
exactly.
humiliating situation. It's a shame that they let him free and he won't stand trial, and he got away with it effectively of this creepy and bizarre act. There you go. Don't know what to make of it, really. Another bizarre news story of a crime that sounds comical but is not comical and is rather bizarre and weird.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And then we'll weigh around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? Mine's pretty low after coming back from the craziness of WrestleMania, too many body slams and all that. And I'm pretty jealous of my co-host Chris, who seems to have been exploring Japan's most isolated hotel. He's definitely winning in the relaxation race, but I'm determined to catch up with him. It can be easy to get swept up in social gatherings and spread ourselves too thin, but with therapy, you can learn to prioritize your time and recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/Japan today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Japan.
This week at Sukarnov.
On the latest episode of Between the Lines with Melissa Reddy, Melissa speaks to footballer Lee Nicol, who in 2019 was hacked and had intimate footage leaked online. Lee opens up about the impact it had on her and how she came back from it.
The first mental impact, it was sheer shock. It was panic attacks. It was shame. It was guilt. I think I felt every single sense of emotion. It felt a little bit like grief, as if I had lost someone, but I hadn't lost someone. The only person I think I'd lost was myself.
Meanwhile, on the latest On the Continent on Football Ramble Presents, Dotton, Andy and Miguel Delaney unpack everything surrounding the Super League and how it has changed football forever.
When you watch a Champions League game, when you watch, say, Manchester United in Champions League, Real Madrid in Champions League, it's not just a match. It's that every single minute of the match is imbued with 7 decades of history. The Super League, which has none of that. It was getting quite sad for that we were going to lose this and have to face this monstrosity.
All that and a whole lot more at Sukarnov.
We now turn our attention to the fax machine. What have we got this week in the fax machine, Mr. Donaldson?
We've got a fax from, well, an email really, from Robin Sherburn. Let's go for that, shall we? Beautiful name. Hello, boys. Hope you're keeping well, and I hope Chris has fully recovered from his tumultuous Cessna flight. He actually wrote fight there, but I'm enjoying it.
It was a fight.
I have recently finished an MA in English linguistics. English, English, blah, English linguistics.
You've had too much pasta bake today, Pete. What's happening to you?
I've hit a food coma like the guy like last week with Tessol at the University of Kent in Canterbury. And I'm surprised to learn that Chris is also an alumnus of our wonderful institution.
Hey.
Now that I've graduated, my mind is focused on how best to use my £60,000 worth of education. My dream naturally would to be enroll in a program like JET to start teaching abroad. However, I'm diagnosed with depression and anxiety, and I've heard rumours that some countries and programmes will not consider applicants who have mental health conditions. Is there any validity in this claim? I know that Japan has been making steps forward in recent years to combat mental health challenges in the workplace, but it still seems to be an uphill battle. Oh, and Pete, the European Super League, undermining a working class sport or saving footy? Robin, we're not going to get into the European Super League on here. Suffice to say, I didn't think it was going to happen. I knew it wasn't going to happen, and it's not going to happen. So everything's fine. We'll kick it down the can for another 6 months.
I mean, even I have no interest in football, but I was quite interested in the whole European Super League event debacle, disaster. I remember messaging you when it was happening, being like, is this the end of football, Pete? And you were like, it won't happen. And it didn't happen. So well done. Your prediction turned out to be 100% accurate.
I think people who aren't into sport look inside a sport like football and sort of go, why is one European Super League not allowed? And then there's another European Super League just as bad that is allowed. And it's true. Like, all modern football is shit. It's rubbish.
Oh, man. Well, I'm sure you can listen on the Football Ramble, Robin. Did you talk about it at great length on your Football Ramble podcast?
Yes, we talked about it for a whole week. By the end, I was sick of it. I think the listeners were sick of it.
It's probably a good time, though, for the podcast. I imagine listening figures went up, right?
I guess so. Yeah, we had a pretty good week, but it may just have been that the commute's back. London's got back to normal, really. Sort of going in and going back and forth to London. The trains are packed out. People sitting, you know, next to each other and stuff, which didn't always happen. They need to increase the number of trains back to pre lockdown levels, really, to cope.
Well, that's some good news there, I guess. But on the subject of Robin's question, £60,000 for a degree. God, these days it's getting ridiculous. It was 30,000 for me 8 years ago. It's gone up and up and up. I'm not sure if being diagnosed with depression, anxiety, that probably will be a problem for applying. I'm not entirely sure. I don't think they'll look at that favorably. I think the main concern is if you have depression, anxiety, coming to a foreign land like Japan can exacerbate the problem. And I often say that, you know, when I came here, I was all right. But then I always had like mild anxiety, but it did kick off into high gear in my second year here. And it does make it worse. Suddenly being in a place where you can't speak the language, where you're not independent because you have to, you know, you can't just go down the bank and sort your paperwork out. You can't just sort your phone contract unless you're fluent in Japanese already, in which case that'll help. But I mean, coming to Japan with depression, anxiety, I think it will make it worse. So bear that in mind, Robin, if you can find a way to kind of get around that, that might help first. But I'm not sure. I don't think it's looked favourably upon, though. It will potentially be a hurdle.
But if you are comfortable and your doctor and support network are comfortable that you can make that move, you know, it's not just about rationalising it, but it's about medication, it may be something else. Presumably, if it's not medication based, nothing's on your permanent record, and I'm fairly certain
that won't be an issue
to disclose. You wouldn't have to disclose on entry.
No,
you know, anxiety or depression like that. That's between you and your doctor. So as long as you've got a doctor and kind of support network, so like as long as you are in good health, I think surely you can't be denied employment. You can't be denied entry.
Obviously,
surely.
There's different levels of anxiety and depression. I think if you're on medication, you have to announce that, then that might be a problem coming on the JET program. It's something, if any of you guys listening have experienced that and sort of gone through that stage and come onto the JET program with that kind of diagnosis, I'll be keen to hear how it turned out and what happened. But I think if you're taking medication, that could be a problem potentially. If it's not medication based, then I think you can still get on, and I don't think that'll be an issue. But
Look after yourself,
Robin, and well done on graduating from the best university in the world, the University of Kent, because I went there. We've got one from Christiana Atkins from Uruguay. It says, hi, Chris and Pete. Two questions. Have you been to all of Japan's prefectures? That's the first question. And the second one, have you ever heard from one of your younger former students? Maybe they found your YouTube or saw you on a visit to your Yamagata town. Cheers from Uruguay, Christiana. How many prefectures have you visited now, Pete? You must have actually done a fair few. Out of 47.
I've certainly rattled through a few. I haven't done the inner sort of island thing, you know, or I can't remember what you call that blooming place, to be honest.
The inner island.
The little chunky island in the middle, Shikoku. I've not done any of Shikoku, but I think I've visited everything else, I think. Every other prefecture, I think. Oh, not every other prefecture, but I've done a load of them. Too many.
I've only got four left on my list. I've visited 43 now. And the only ones that I've yet to go to are Tottori, which is home to Japan's biggest sand dune, Kochi in Shikoku, Shimane, which is next to Tottori, kind of around the back of Hiroshima, that part of Japan,
right.
Miyazaki, which I've passed through but not really seen. And you've been there, of course. But I'm going to Tottori next month with Natsuki for a project. So soon it'll be three. And one thing I want to do this year is go to those last two prefectures, just so I can say I've been to all 47. Bragging rights. I should get like a sticker or something. Special badge.
Yeah, like I've been vaccinated. I've gone to all the prefectures.
All the 47 prefectures. That's pretty crazy though. Only took 9 years. And as for students, I remember I got a comment on a video not too long ago saying, hi Chris, I was one of your students. I hope you remember me. And they didn't write anything about them. That was all I had to go on. I was like, well, I had 1,200 students, thank you. Now, every now and then it does happen. I remember one time, I think when you were over, actually, we went to a hostess bar to do karaoke and have people pour us drinks for 2 hours. And as we were going in, the former school president of the school I used to go, you know, he was the school captain, whatever you call it. What's the position of the top student?
It would be like a principal. That's nonsense. What do you get when you get like a prefect? Is that a prefect?
Yeah, it was like the school boy. I guess
homecoming king? I don't know.
But he saw us going in there and it was really awkward because I remember we opening the door going in and he walked past with his friends and he was like, oh, Chris. I was like, oh, hello. It's a bit awkward being caught going into a hostess club. Even though they're not that shady, it still felt a bit wrong. It was a little bit embarrassing.
Yeah. I mean, the way you talk about them, you make it sound way worse than
actually
were. Bearing in mind, it's the first time I've been in one.
It's a bar where women pour your drinks and make you sing songs for endless amounts of time. And
it's very bizarre.
That's the only entertainment there is in all of North Japan.
Again, castrate us. Castrate men.
Start with Pete Donaldson and end with Pete Donaldson. Yeah. We got one from Rob. Correct. Over to you.
Rob Bieberhofer. Hello, Rob. Hello, Mr. Chris and the Pete. My name is Rob and I'm from Brantford, Ontario, Canada. I listen to your podcast every chance I get and I cannot get enough. With my April 2020 trip gone to shit, much like the world, I have moved it to April 2022. My question is, with everyone having or riding bikes constantly, if I were to bring my rollerblades and use them to get around instead of a bike, would I get weird looks or confusion? I never saw a single person using rollerblade or roller skates, so I'm curious if they're a thing in Japan. Any help on this would be greatly appreciated. You guys make a solid podcast, extremely entertaining YouTube videos that I find myself going back to constantly. I appreciate all the effort that you and Pete put in, and next time I'm in Japan, drinks are on me. All the best, Rob Bieberhofer. Rob Bieberhofer sounds a little bit like a delicious Belgian lager, so I'm in for a bit of Bieberhofer.
I thought you were going to say something about Justin Bieber then and tie it into Justin Bieber. I've never seen a single person do rollerblades or roller skates in Japan. They have skateboards, but no, in short, you'll get stared at and people look at you and it'll be a bit weird. So do it though. Do it by all means, but I think people just be confused. to be honest.
I like the... remember that advert in the 90s for Always sanitary products? And
How do you remember this?
And there was a woman, and it was kind of like this like image of freedom of women to do whatever they want because their tampons were good. And it had a woman with a load of Labradors, and she was getting pulled along on rollerblades by a load of dogs on leads. And that was the image of freedom. And that's what I'm sort of thinking about with Rob rattling around
rattling through Tokyo.
He is.
holding onto a sea of Labradors. Does sound quite fun, actually. Does sound rather fun indeed. We've got one from Arnold here from the Netherlands, who says, "Dear Chris and Pete, most people right now can't travel due to COVID. However, I'm still traveling every week to Japan because I'm a flight attendant on Royal Dutch Airlines. As you probably know, my work has been hugely impacted by the pandemic. I work on planes that carry over 400 passengers, and now we're lucky if we have 50, sometimes not even reaching double digits. Why are we still doing these flights, you may ask? Well, it's because of the cargo, mostly carrying medical supplies all over the world. 2 weeks ago, I was in Osaka in Japan, and a bizarre feeling came over me. Not being able to leave the hotel, in some countries, even my room, I suddenly realized I'm just watching life in Japan pass by through the window. It's almost like being in virtual reality. You're there, but you're not there, able to fully interact with life outside. Well, this turned out to be pretty depressing, and I'm really looking forward to things going back to normal again, being able to walk the streets of Tokyo or Osaka, two of my favorite cities in the world. What's the first thing you'll do when all restrictions are lifted again, guys? All the best, Arnold from Amsterdam." Wow, that must be really trippy and sad and annoying.
I mean, I sort of whinge about my situation and everyone's situation, not being allowed to go in because it's just a holiday. But yeah, can you imagine being Arnold and just sort of like,
I know, right?
You know, flying in, staying in an airport hotel, and then flying straight back out again. I just, oh mate,
just flying around the world to sit in a hotel room and look out the window at a country you can't touch or get near without being in huge trouble if you do. I can't begin to imagine.
It sort of pulls into sharp focus, how limited your job would be if you weren't allowed to leave. You know what I mean? And experience these countries.
Absolutely.
Incredible.
I mean, for me, the first thing I'll do when restrictions are lifted are, I'm looking forward to going back to the UK, of course, but I'm looking forward to showing friends around Japan and having a lot of friends come over. In 2020, I think three good friends were going to come over and visit. And Pete was coming as well. And I one of my favourite things is having friends come to Japan and show them around, because I like hosting people. As long as it's not too frequent, it is quite fun. And whenever Pete comes over, we have a good laugh. And whenever friends come over, it's a lot of fun. So, yeah, I just want to show friends over and show friends around Japan. So what do you want to do, Pete?
Oh, I want to be shown around.
Absolutely.
When I take my partner out, my partner went to Tokyo about for like 2 days, I think, on the way to Australia.
Yeah.
And she didn't really sort of experience.
Hang on, why go by Tokyo for 2 days? Sort of,
I don't know. I don't know.
I'll cheap flights.
But she, but she had a nice time. But I thought, oh god, like she'd really get a kick out of some of the places in Japan. So I'm looking forward to sort of showing her that. And that's what I want to do. That's what I want to do.
It's fun, isn't it? Showing folks around Japan that have never really been here before or haven't really seen the country much. Because I love living vicariously through people's reactions to Japan, and it kind of helps me appreciate how awesome it is to live here, right? You know, when you take them to like a sushi bar, or you go out for yakitori, or go to a hostess club, you know, seeing their reactions and seeing how they react to Japan reminds me of my first experiences coming here. Because I've been here 9 years now, a lot of that magic has worn off, and it's just the place, the awesome place that I live and call home. But yeah, having people and showing them around, you really appreciate it a lot more.
I think I was surprised to sort of hear about Dogen. Obviously, he's been there for 10 years, 11 years, something like that. And he was on the show last week, or 2 weeks ago, maybe. His sort of enthusiasm for the country's not really been dulled. And those kind of men that you see on YouTube and stuff, who've been there for ages and have ingratiated themselves in the culture and the language, can sometimes have quite a bit of a Debbie Downer on the place by sort of saying, oh, you know, it's not as good as you think it is, just because he's like anime and fucking manga. He's still as enthusiastic as presumably he was 10 years ago. So good on him.
He loves it. And to be honest, you know, people often ask, after living here for all these years, do I feel like that? Do I feel done? And when I'm still walking through places at Tokyo at night, or around Tohoku, or driving in the countryside, I still get this wave of excitement. Even though I've now seen nearly every corner of Japan, I still get excited by it. And that's hugely encouraging, I think.
Good.
And I think the fact that my Japanese isn't fluent to Dogen level, I feel like there's still work to be done. You know, there's still things to be learned. By not learning Japanese or becoming fluent, I'm increasing my love of Japan. and my that doesn't make sense.
Stay dumb,
that's,
kids.
That's what I tell myself to get over the fact that I'm not happy with my Japanese ability. Keep the questions and stories and comments coming into abroadjapanpodcast@gmail.com. We'll be back on Thursday to do it all over again. But for now, guys, enjoy the rest of the weekend or the start of your week, and we'll see you on Thursday to do it all over again on the Abroad Japan Podcast. Bye for now.
This was a Stakhanov production and part of the Acast Creative Network.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And on my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.